Show with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Luke Bradnam with you, The Rush Hour. Big show today. Mayor Tom Tate joins us. We arc up the phones for Wednesday Whinge. What else have we got? Party tricks, which is pretty cool. Talk about party tricks and take your calls on that. There's a grandmother that's found herself in jail. We'll get into that for you. I bang on a bit about Ellen DeGeneres and how she's a horrible human being, apparently. Dobbo joins us to talk about the NRL sex scandal, and we chat Rafael Nadal, all that and a whole heap more. If you listen to this, it's a catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Mayor Tom Tate, our head honcho, some raw music, please. Gold Coast, the king of the Gold Coast, Mayor Tom Tate joining us. G'day, Tom. How are you, mate?
Mate, look, beautiful day, mate. Thank you for the weather.
No, you're right, mate. It's the least I could do. Now, we've got some rain coming. On Friday, Tom, we've got some rain coming, but that's not me that's organised that. Channel 7 organised that, all right? So the good stuff comes from me. Okay, now let's get to the serious stuff. Our borders closing, okay. The announcement made today by Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk. Are we happy about this, Tom? Is it the right decision?
Absolutely, it is right. I had a lot of business people throughout and residents saying close the border, and I got a call from the Premier early this morning, and I welcome the announcement. It's a time to be cautious and protecting the health and well-being of Gold Coasters and Queensland alike.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like a politician, mate, eh?
Yeah, you do. You almost sound like one of those other jobbers. You keep sounding like a Polly. I'll never get you on again. That's what we love about you.
Right.
Now, Tom, how does that take us behind the scenes? How does it actually work? So does Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Premier, give you a call before the announcement, does she?
Yeah, she does. And and she'll go that, the Chief Health Medical Officer and done the assessment and analysis. And I went, okay, that sounds good. And we're on. You got to really, at time of crisis, you got to be on message to show that we have confidence on the decision making, and I do have the confidence in the Premier's decision in this case.
Yeah, I think everyone. Oh, well, who knows? You're never going to get 100% agreement, but it seems like the right move to make. That's for sure. Hey, just moving away from that for a moment, I'm just seeing on the Gold Coast Bully website at the moment that it's saying that Tom Tate comes face to face with his staunchest critic, and this is some light rail protester. And you'd sort of thrown the bait out to them. You said, "Look, bring your tomatoes and throw your tomatoes at me." And then you came face to face with one of these jobbers this morning, and all they wanted was a selfie. It says,
"No, what I said to her was that because she said, "Oh, look, I'm opposed to your stage four," and I went. Democracy, when we have a consultation, you know, we have a right to agree and disagree. And she goes, "Oh, I thought you'd say no to the selfie." I said, no, as long as we're 1.5 metres and it's all fine, you know.
Good.
And so all cool. And she's trying to explain, you know, who she is. I said, it's fine. You can be, you know, one of those haters, but I'm not going to worry about that too much.
Yeah, good on you. Hey, I want to commend you too, because I saw the Gold Coast Bully today and they had the first shots that I've seen, at least, about the revamped spit, and it looks unreal, Tom. It really does. Like, it looks like usable land. I'm one of the people that use it on a weekly basis because I run there every Wednesday morning. So
okay.
I was running through the spit area this morning, but it's, you know, it's not usable land for the most part, and this new revamp, this looks unreal.
It is good, and it's for everybody. Mm. So, you know, for a fit guy like you who can run along there, or somebody like me, I'm gonna riding on my push bike, and when I'm really lazy, I'll get on my motorbike. So my point is that it's really opened up for, you know, all in the family for the spit, and we went ahead and did the increase of the roads each way, so now it's two lanes, so that and then the next bit, mate, Hoppo came online last week, So you don't have to drive to the Spit if you don't want to, and catch a ferry.
Yeah, you get the ferry up there. We spoke to the owner. That sounds sensational. I notice also just at the end of SeaWorld Drive near the Southport Yacht Club, as I went to the Main Beach Surf Club this morning, the roundabout's gone. It's replaced by traffic lights. And that's like, whoa, man, that roundabout's been there for 1,000 years. And it's all happening, Tom. We're going to get rid of those delays.
The traffic modelling shows that it's safer and actually the traffic flows better. And also, residents in Main Beach, we put lights crossing there. So,
you can get across
yourself if you're more relaxed and you want to cross the road, you can press the lights and walk across the road to Main Beach. So,
you might cop a bit of stick occasionally for whatever reason. But I tell you what, mate, that Spit redevelopment looks 10 out of 10. I can't wait for it to happen. And I appreciate your time this afternoon, Tom. All the best, mate. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Luke. Cheers, mate. Bye.
There he goes. Mayor Tom Tate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Because it feels good to let it out. It's the Rush Hour's Wednesday whinge.
What do you want to whinge about, Gold Coast? Hit the phones. 13, 27, 10. We've got to just notice we've got to give away a voucher to Coda Bar and Dining this afternoon. It's worth $100. We'll have to do that at some stage. Got something cool to give away right now. Wednesday whinge. Whoever's got the best whinge for us. 13, 27, 10. Time to hit the phones. I got a whinge about producer Jeremy. You might want to come in here, mate, to defend yourself on this one. Just while he's coming in, can we just play a bit of Donald Trump? Donald Trump apparently has just hit the news because he's in trouble for mispronouncing the word Yosemite. He was talking about Yosemite National Park, and he's clearly reading a speech that's been written for him. He dead set sounds like a fifth grader having to read a book in class. He's just reading this speech with no enthusiasm at all, and he has clearly never seen the word Yosemite before. Have a go.
When young Americans experience the breathtaking beauty of the Grand Canyon, when their eyes widen in amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky, when they gaze upon Yosemites.
Yosemite. He's the president of the United States. Look, we know how to pronounce Yosemite here in Australia. He's the president of the United States. Okay, producer Jeremy's coming to the studio. Any idea why I want to whinge about you?
A range of things. Okay. Could be many.
Get this one, Brixie. So we're sitting, Jeremy and I are sitting together before the show today, and I just happened to hop on Twitter, and some troll is having a crack at me on Twitter, and this guy writes to me, he goes, hey, Luke Bradnam, can you please tell me what the secret is? What did he say? He goes, Luke, what's your secret to being the unfunniest person on Australian radio? Oh, okay. That's what he writes to me, right? He's taken time out of his day, this jobber, to write that to me. So I say to Jeremy, I go, look at this. Now Jeremy's my producer. Like, his job is to build me up, right?
His job is to protect.
And I'm about to go and do a show, and that could dent your confidence somewhat when some total numbnut is telling me that I'm the unfunniest person on Australian radio. He's clearly never tuned into Hot Tomato, this guy. Right? So anyway, I go to Jeremy, I go, look at this jobber. This jobber's just written to me. This guy only follows 30 people on Twitter, and I'm one of them. And he's just written this about me, that I'm the unfunniest person on Australian radio. Jeremy, and this is what made it more insulting to me. He's being really compassionate. He goes, he thinks about it and he goes, there's no way you're the unfunniest, mate. There's got to be more that's unfunnier. There's got to be some that are unfunnier than you. That's what he says to me. That's how he built me up.
That's what I think too.
I'm not alone.
Okay, that's my Wednesday whinge. What is yours? Linda is down in Tuggan. I know it's Tugan. For comedy reasons, I call it Tuggan. Linda, what's on your mind? What did you want to whinge about?
Hi, Luke. How are you today?
Pretty good.
That's good. My whinge is more of a constructive criticism. I'd really like to see it now that they're closing the borders again. They move the checkpoints further south, so that the people who live at Coolangatta Tweed can actually access easily and more efficiently to go to work and to and fro.
Yeah, it won't happen.
We, we still need to have a discussion about it because it's just bedlam for a lot of people.
Well, the problem is the New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, whatever her name is, she wants to move it further north, which would just make no sense whatsoever. Everyone's saying, look, at the moment, a city is divided in two. If you move it further north, it's just going to do the exact same thing. She wanted to move it to Tjugan. It's still going to divide a city. Why not move it somewhere between Tweed Heads and Byron Bay? That would make sense, and it won't happen, unfortunately, Linda. But I agree with you, and I think a lot of people would, and I'm feeling for everyone that lives south of the border but works north of the border or vice versa. But Lane Kelcutt from Nine News is going to join us next, and he'll tell us exactly how it's going to affect you. Let's go to Crystal from Labrador. Hey, Crystal, what do you
want
to
mention about? How are you?
Good.
I'm going to have a Wednesday whinge about parents who have children in the car that are speeding through school zones.
Right, yes. It's a trap for young players, that one. Drops down to 40 k's an hour.
Yep.
And the police are out in force. What you're seeing it on a regular basis, are you, Crystal?
Yes, I can name and shame the school too.
It's every school on the Gold Coast. You don't have to. Yeah. Honestly, no. It is. Okay, one more. Luke from Arundel. Go ahead, mate. What did you want to whinge about, Luke?
Yeah. Every time for the past 3 years, I've been flying up to Queensland for holidays with mates, and every time my planes get cancelled or something happens, and I get stuck up here for an extra couple of days.
Where do you live?
I live in Sydney.
So, mate, isn't that a good thing? Seriously? I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but Sydney sucks, and you get to stay here on the Gold Coast for an extra couple of days. Is that not the airlines doing you a favour?
They kind of are doing me a favour. Mm. Yep. But I'm sure my friends are actually whinging me about me at the moment.
Oh, right. They want to get rid of you. Hey mate, do you live in Sydney now still?
Yes, I do.
So what are you doing, mate? Because as of, Saturday morning, 1 a.m., you won't be allowed back in the state. Are you going home or are you staying here?
I'm actually flying out Friday.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. Mm. So Friday I am out of here at 12 o'clock and, straight down. And I won't be allowed back here for about another,
12
months.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows how long. At least you're doing the right thing, Luke. And, stay safe down there in Sydney. We appreciate your call.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, she is not messing around. You would have heard the news, I'm sure, that our borders are closing to the ACT and also to New South Wales residents. Lane Kelcutt's covering this for Channel 9. G'day, Lane. How are you, mate?
Luke, I'm all right. How are you?
Good. So what's the story, mate? When is it all happening?
Kicks off 1 o'clock Saturday morning, Luke. So if you're not back if you're a Queenslander, you've got to get back before then. Otherwise, you go into 2 weeks isolation in a hotel. You'll be paying for it. But it's the only way you can get back is by flying in. So after 1 a.m. on Saturday, if I'm a Queenslander, I can't drive back over the border. I'm going to have to effectively leave the car where I am in New South Wales or the ACT and fly home.
Lane,
so,
we're a city divided by, our city's cut in half by this state border. Did she make any suggestions today of how it's going to work for residents that live here on the coast or work on the coast, live in Tweed Heads and that sort of stuff? Or
it'll be the same as
the previous, as it was.
Yes, mate. Yeah. So those people in those border communities will have exemptions, those who have to work, go to school, go to see doctors, yada, yada, yada. Freight will get through. There will be exemptions, but they'll be pretty tough ones, on compassionate grounds. So this is just fear that what's happened in Victoria and has started to happen in New South Wales could quickly happen here in Queensland, given the community transmission of the last week or so of those cases from Melbourne. The fear is that, it could get bad here.
It's almost a preemptive move that suggests like that it's going to get as bad in Sydney and New South Wales as it has in Melbourne, and so we're closing the borders before it gets too bad in Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. And note today, New South Wales has now said, sorry, if you come from Victoria, you're in hotel quarantine for 2 weeks. So, despite their criticism of some of our practices, they're now doing something similar. So there is a fear, obviously, in New South Wales that'll go beyond just those Sydney clusters that you've seen so far.
And Lane, and final question for you, mate, and I'm not joking when I ask this because I was contemplating it last week when we had a border closure that came into effect at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Why 1 a.m.? Like, who's the genius that decides, nah, midnight's not going to work, it better be 1 a.m., 2 a.m.'s too long, but like,
I got no idea. Somebody else asked me the same question. I got no answer to that. You'd imagine the last flight in would be, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock on a Friday night. So why they choose 1 a.m.? I got no idea, mate. If I get the answer, I'll let you know.
Hey, good on you, Lane. We'll see your comprehensive wrap-up tonight on Nine News. Doing a great job, mate, and appreciate your time this arvo.
Good chat, mate. Take care.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, I've just read in the back page of today's Gold Coast Bulletin with regards to Tim Zhu. Tim Zhu is the son of Kostya Zhu, Australian boxing royalty, absolute legend. And it turns out that Tim Zhu's on the Gold Coast at the moment. He's at a training camp here on the coast preparing for a fight with Jeff Horn. And the back page of the paper has got all this information about these party tricks that he can do. And one of them doesn't sound that impressive to me. I'm going to read this for you. It says, the razor-sharp punch, the coin catch, the headstand, boxer Tim Zhu is incorporating extraordinary skill tests once used by his father, Kostya, to sharpen his arsenal to defeat Jeff Horn in 3 weeks' time. It says here that he can catch 4 coins that are thrown simultaneously before they hit the ground, and he can stand on his head 3 times a week after training. That strengthens his neck. But the big one that they're banging on about is the fact that he can cut a newspaper in half with just one punch. Now, can't anybody do that? Oh, he's talking about the whole newspaper, I guess, is he?
I don't know. No, single page.
But that's not that hard.
No.
How's that impressive? To cut in a... Like, if I threw a punch at a single page of a newspaper... Like, wouldn't your grandmother be able to do that?
Yes.
Well, why is that impressive? Does anybody know? And we go, I actually say to producer Jeremy, I go, go and get me a newspaper, mate. Go get me a piece of newspaper. I'm gonna try this. But because of cost-cutting measures, we don't have a newspaper at the radio station. We've got 2 radio stations here, and we don't have 1 newspaper. Oh, no wonder newspapers are in trouble around the country. We can't afford a newspaper, and we have 2 radio stations here. How bad is that? How's that impressive? I don't get it.
Yeah, I saw the video and it didn't look that impressive. Like, anyone could probably do it.
So, what's the video? Explain it to me. Come closer to the mic.
It's just his trainer holding up a piece of paper, like one page of the paper on each corner. And he punches it and it just rips in half.
How is that impressive? I don't get that. Like, I've got a party trick, right? I can spin a book on my finger. That's my big party trick. I can juggle. Actually, I can juggle. That's pretty impressive. I'm not a bad juggler. I can spin a book on my finger, and that's about it for party tricks. But I bet you we've got listeners that have got way better party tricks than that. I reckon the catching the 4 coins is pretty impressive. With one hand catching 4 coins that are coming towards you, that's good reflexes, and that's good eye-to-hand coordination. But let's open the phones up. 132710 is our number. We've got this awesome prize to give away to whoever's got the most impressive party trick for us. Coda Bar and Dining have given us a $100 voucher. Slip into the Coda Rhythm, Coda Bar and Dining at Broadbeach. But whoever's got the most impressive party trick, you might end up back page of the Bully tomorrow. You can throw a punch through a newspaper. You can make it, apparently. Alison has given us a call from Ashmore. Go ahead, Alison.
Hi. I can, with a lolly snake tied in a knot with my tongue.
Oh, really? With a hole? You go, really?
Yes.
I'm trying to imagine doing that. I can't even imagine how you're capable of doing it. Hang on. You might be our winner. That's pretty impressive.
Try it.
I want to see the video. Annie from Coomba Bar, go ahead.
I can hold in New Zealand they've got the big thick beer glasses with the thick heavy glass down the bottom.
Right.
Put one of those in my mouth and then pour it into someone else's.
Hang on, I'm confused. Go ahead, say it again. You can do what?
So get a beer glass,
yeah.
Fill it with beer, put it in my mouth and then pour it into someone else's.
No idea. You've got to send me a video of that. Oh, you spit it. You can hold the whole beer in your mouth and then pour it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. I'm going to throw up.
No, like the whole beer glass, not the beer. No. Not the beer, the beer glass. So I hold the beer glass in my mouth.
Right.
And then someone sips from the other end. That would be gross otherwise.
Are you married to Booney? Okay. Let's go to Glenn from Palm Beach. Go ahead, Glenn. You're on the air, mate. What did you want to say?
I said I can balance get a knife and fork, mash them together, put a matchstick into that and balance the whole lot on the tip of the matchstick, on the edge of a glass or a beer bottle.
See, this doesn't translate to radio, does it, this whole segment? Because I haven't really understood the last two. The snake in the mouth deal, I can, but I don't know what you're talking about. Go, explain it to me again. I'm dopey. Go ahead.
You get the knife and you feed it through the fork, right? So it's sort of
right, yeah,
on an angle,
yeah.
And then you put the match into the slot.
Oh.
And you balance the whole deal on the edge of a glass on the tip of the match.
Like a tripod sort of thing. It's like a triangle.
Yeah, it's hard to do. Really hard to do.
Who gets the Coda Bar and Dining voucher? Let me think about this. Let's go through our contenders. We've got Alison that can tongue, because she can put a snake. She can tie a snake in a knot in her mouth. We've got Annie that can do something with a beer glass. I didn't really understand it, I'll be honest with you. And we got Glenn from Palm Beach. Give me a drum roll. I'll tell you who the most impressive party trick is, as far as I'm concerned. To me, it's Alison from Ashmore with the snake. And I don't know if it's just because I'm dopey and I can understand that one, but you got yourself a $100 voucher to go to Coda Bar and Rhythm. Well done.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. And try it. The worst thing that can happen is you eat a packet of lollies.
Hey, can you send us a video of it, more to the point?
Well, I don't know if my mum wants that one to go viral.
Fair enough.
And shockingly single.
She's single. Hey, hang on, our phones have lit up, Alison. Dudes want to go with you to the Coda Bar and Dining experience.
Oh, this is better than Tinder.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
God, I missed my granny last night. I just wanted to reach through the TV and hug this old lady that was on A Current Affair. And I don't often watch A Current Affair, but I couldn't help but watch this story of an 86-year-old granny who went to jail because she's fighting with her next-door neighbour, and it was all over a garden of lavender, of all things. So whoever this... it was two old ladies that used to be good friends, right? And then they had a big falling out over this lavender patch because there's a dispute about who owns the land where the lavender patch is. The 86-year-old granny that went to jail, who I liked... she claims it's her land, but then the old boiler that planted the lavender, she claims it's her land. And this lady loves her lavender so much that she put in security cameras so she could see and keep an eye on her lavender patch at all times. And on the security cameras, they caught this 86-year-old lady going out and ripping up the lavender patch. And I went, that's my granny, mate. That's the sort of thing my granny would do. Because old grannies, mate, they look as sweet as apple pie, but they can be, they can be vicious, and they're capable of breaking the law. This poor old lady got sent to jail. Have a listen to her on A Current Affair last night.
I could hear her crying in there. Oh, my babies. I've got no kids. This is my babies.
So why did you pull out these lavender bushes?
Well, I thought, well, you did this to me. I'm going to pay you back. I know it's wrong. I do know that it's wrong. I should not have done it, but I just lost it.
She did it because she knew that it would hurt the lady next door. Now, this is what I wanted to go with this. My granny, right, if you looked at my granny, you'd go, oh, there she, look at her, Mother Teresa, right? She's the beautiful old lady, and she was. But I swear to God, she was a shoplifter, right? She did. She shoplifted. This is what my granny would do. She'd go, you got to take me to the nursery today. Every Wednesday was Granny Judy Day for me. So I'd go to Runaway Bay Retirement Village, pick up Granny, and she'd just have a list of chores for me to do. We're going to Bunnings, and then we're going to Coles because Coles have got margarine for sale. And after that, we're going to Woolworths because they've got peaches for sale. And then you're taking me to the nursery. And we'd get to the nursery after running around the Gold Coast. And I'd go, what are you buying from the nursery, Granny? And she'd go, nothing. Now you stay in the car. I don't need you watching me. And this is a nursery on Oxley Drive at Runaway Bay. She'd walk in there with a pair of scissors and her handbag, right? She's in her 90s. No joke. In her 90s. And I still don't know how she does it because I'm not, I'm not Don Burke. I'm not a gardener, but Granny was. She'd cut clippings off the plants and go home, and just from these clippings, which she stole from the nursery at Oxley Drive, she'd grow her own plants. And I'd go, oh, you didn't buy anything, Granny. She'd go, shh, drive quick, move, go, drive really quick. And I go, what do you mean drive quick? She goes, I don't know that they didn't see me. Just drive, drive. And you get home and she'd empty out her handbag and it'd be like half of the bush would be in her handbag. And that's what she would do. She'd steal. And this lady last night, she reminded me of my granny. I miss her.
I don't think he's a moron. I think he's a dickhead.
That's my granny. That's my actual granny talking about me. Play granny one more time.
I don't think he's a moron. I think he's a dickhead.
That's granny sticking up for me. 10 years ago.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
I'm reading about Ellen DeGeneres. It looks like her show might be on the way out after those allegations came out that she's just a horrible human being. I had heard that. I've got to be honest with you. I'd heard it from different people that are sort of in the showbiz world, and they said that she's a fake and a phony. She's nice on camera, but she's an absolute tyrant behind the scenes. And what's really telling for me are the people that are coming out to defend Ellen DeGeneres. And I can kind of relate to what's going on with her a little bit, just on you know, completely different level. But it was Ellen DeGeneres has got basically all of Hollywood at the moment either remaining silent, which speaks volumes, or they're coming out and saying, yeah, she was horrible to me, or, you know, and it's not the celebrities. So the celebrities themselves aren't the ones that were the victim of her abuse. It was basically if you were just a behind the scenes person, she was horrible. So the celebrities, she was a fake and phony. She was nice to the celebrities. But if you weren't a celebrity, she had no time for you. And then apparently there was allegations of racism and all of this sort of stuff. These are the people that have come out and defended her, right? So far, her wife came out. What's her name? She's an Aussie girl. Portia de Rossi. Portia de Rossi has come out and defended Ellen DeGeneres. Well, big deal. It's your wife. What else is she going to do? The other person that's come out today is her brother. They're the only two people. So it's only her family. And, mate, I got to tell you, so this is what happened for me. This is how I could kind of relate to when it's only your family that are jumping on board. So I separated from my wife, and I was, like, at a really low point in my life. And I was, I guess I'd been out maybe 8 months or something like that. It was coming up towards a year, and I hadn't even thought about dating again. I hadn't thought about you know, trying another relationship or even going on a date. And to that point in my life, the only person I'd ever been on a date with was Kathy, my wife. Literally, she was my first girlfriend, and I married her. And my mum rang me one day, and I'd given up drinking, which was a big thing for me. And so I was of the opinion that who would want to go out with me? This is like probably 2 years ago. I'm thinking, who would want to go out with me? I'm no fun. I don't even drink. And mum rings me and she goes, love, you've got to go out. You've got to go and meet somebody. You should meet someone. And I go, mum, who's going to want to go out with me? At that point, alcohol was such a big part of my life that I just figured that no one would want to go out with someone that doesn't drink. It was such a massive deal for me. And I said to mum, no one's going to want to go out with me. I'm no fun. I don't drink anymore. And mum, the only person in my life, mum goes, I think you're fun. I think you're fun. And I think that someone will go out with you. And I was like, oh, wow, there's an endorsement for me. Even my mum says I'm a good guy. That's like going to buy a new pair of jeans and coming home and they're horrible. Like the jeans, they're misfitting, they're too, you know, they're too short for you or whatever. They make you look like a nerd. And you go, your partner says, how did you buy them? And you go, well, even the lady that sold them to me said they were nice. And that's what it felt like to me. Even my mum says I'm a good guy. My only endorsement that I got from anybody was my mum. And that didn't count for anything. That's what's happening with Ellen DeGeneres at the moment. The only people coming out defending her are people that probably are on her payroll, her wife and her brother.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
There's a bit to cover off in rugby league circles, primarily what's going to happen now that the borders are closed to New South Wales and the ACT, but the Broncos are in trouble as well. And the man that's all over both these stories like spots on a grandma is the best rugby league insider in the business. Dobbo, Ben Dobbin, is joining us right now. Dobbo, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Luke. Great to talk to you. Look, what's better than when your 5'8 for the Brisbane Broncos goes down with a hamstring and that's your lead story for the day in the news cycle, but it gets trumped by your superstar player being embroiled in a sex tape? I mean, you know, if people want to look at the gift that keeps on giving. Rugby league is the greatest gift. I mean, if I was a rugby union reporter, I would be out of a job, seriously.
And, there'd be nothing to report, mate.
You know what? I want to thank the game. I want to thank the players because, you know what? I can send my kids to school again next month. I can pay my school fees because what? You blokes never bloody learn. They never learn.
But, Dobbo, is it not the case? I haven't. I'm not 100% across what's happened with the Broncos player. But isn't it just a case that he's had it off with some chick and then she's released the tape out onto social media in a way to try and embarrass him or something? Is that what's going on?
Luke, Katani Staggs is the player in question, and a consensual act took part. Both of them have had phones during the connection, whatever you want to call it. Now, this hasn't been released by Katani Staggs, and it was released against his will or without his permission. Right. So he's entitled at the moment to feel extremely upset. Now, my understanding is that this was this incident and the video took place last year, November, right. And it's gone through the news cycle. And obviously it's come out the other end and it ends up in our laps and throughout the rugby league fraternity yesterday. Now, the NRL Integrity Unit have got it. But if we want to talk about it, we know what went on with the Penrith videos a year and a half ago. And we understand when Adam Elliott got filmed at Mad Monday with no gear on. Dylan Napa's had his fair share. Corey Norman, this is not an uncommon occurrence, but the thing that is uncommon is that all these players say, well, it wasn't me, I didn't release it. But you have an obligation as a rugby league player that you know that you are in, you are held to a different account because of your role in society. Now, you make choices, whether or not consensual or not, to have yourself filmed during these incidents. Now, when it comes out and when it is then public domain and you've got kids and parents who are upset, I feel for Katani Staggs in this instance. But I don't feel for the stupidity that he allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
He didn't ask for this to go out. And I think it's another good lesson once again why the education behind the scenes needs to get probably ramped up a little bit more because it is just not a good look for the game.
And Dobbo, further to that, like forget about if you're an NRL player, just if you're anybody, just be aware that in these times of social media where everything is getting put out, everybody's trying to make a name for himself in some capacity, don't film yourself at all because the person you're putting too much trust in somebody who may not be trustworthy, and it only takes one person for it to go viral. And doesn't even really matter if you're an NRL player. It's just a warning for kids everywhere. We're so narcissistic now as a society. If the current generation of young people ever became wedding photographers, they'd be the first generation of wedding photographers to take photos of themselves. They don't only take selfies. They're so into the camera.
100%.
And this is just something for everyone to learn by. Don't film yourself. It's too dangerous. And away from that, Dobbo, what's going to happen now with the NRL, mate, given that we're closing our state borders 1 a.m. Saturday?
Yeah, business as usual, mate.
They get an exemption.
They get the exemption.
Okay.
And until there's a case, the fact that Brisbane... And look, it's a really scary case. The West Moreton Ipswich area had a case today, you know, and it's alleged that it's East Ipswich, you know. What's stopping... There's three Broncos players who live in around those areas. Now, they go home, they go to a coffee shop, they go... Although they're doing everything possible at the moment to stay, you know, out of their bubble, like there's every possibility through no fault of their own they could potentially get it. And I'm not saying in any way they have, but don't be surprised if at some point a player comes down and is struck down with COVID. Now, if that happens, well, then this conversation will be completely different.
Okay. All right. A good one, Dobbo. Comprehensive wrap up, my friend. You get back to it. Who knows what's broken while we've been chatting to one another.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Just covering off on some tennis news, Rafael Nadal has come out today and decided that he's not going to play the US Open, which gets underway in about 4 weeks' time. I'm just reading a tweet that he posted. It says here, I have decided not to play this year's US Open. The situation is very complicated worldwide. The COVID-19 cases are increasing. It looks like we still don't have control of it. So he's the world number two. You wonder what that means for the tournament if other people take his lead. And we know that our own Nick Kyrgios has already decided he's not going to play the US Open. It's unusual that Nick Kyrgios is the person being responsible in this case, isn't it? Like if you sat back in, I don't know, mid-2019 and said, look, a world pandemic is coming and tennis tournaments are going to get cancelled all over the place and some tennis players are going to be irresponsible and some are going to be responsible. What category do you think Nick Kyrgios will fall in this? You'd go, oh, here's the irresponsible one for sure, but he's not. He's the one that's being responsible and he's holding to account those that are being irresponsible. Novak Djokovic got coronavirus after a tennis tournament, an exhibition game that he put on, and Nick Kyrgios came out absolutely pounding him in the press, called him a potato, which was awesome. Best insult ever. He followed it up with another good insult. He later called him a pelican. I love the insults that Nick Kyrgios comes up with. But Rafael Nadal has followed our own Nick Kyrgios' lead and decided that he will not play in the US Open. Of course, we had Nick, we had both Nick Kyrgios and we had Rafael Nadal on the program recently. If you missed our chat with Rafael Nadal, we did touch, this is prior to his announcement earlier today that he's pulling out of the US Open. We spoke to him probably 3 weeks ago on the show. And he was telling us how he was concerned about the coronavirus and how he has been handling isolation. Sounds like he's been fairly active. This is our chat a couple of weeks ago with the great Rafa.
Hello, everybody. Very happy to be here. This is great opportunity for everybody, and I'm happy to be on the show. It's a great honor.
Rafa, wow. Mate, we've just spoken to Novak Djokovic. We've just spoken to Nick Kyrgios, and now we've got the all-time great in Rafa on the phone. Are you okay, mate? You haven't got coronavirus or anything, have you?
Well, I'm 100%. I've been training in Mallorca with Uncle Tony and Carlos Moya, hitting my big forehand and my backhand on the courts at the Rafa Nadal Academy. I feel unbelievable. You know, for me, it is a very, very big disappointment. But for me, Rafa is always good. You know, my bicep, my tricep, my quadricep, my deltoid, my body fat percentage is very low. So for me, I look like a god, I feel like a god, and I'm going to play like a god. So no problem for Rafa.
That is good to hear. So he's coronavirus free.
That's lucky.
He's okay. Hey, Rafa, are you training, mate, in these times? Are you keeping healthy? You're saying your body fat's very low, but how's your tennis game? All good?
Well, you know, for skin folds for me, very, very low. But on the practice court, I am slapping my forehand like nobody's business, you know. I cannot wait to get back onto the courts and chop everybody and assert my dominance. My forehand is very heavy. My backhand is very consistent. Uncle Tony is loving my tennis. Carlos Moya is beside himself with the level I am playing at the moment. So I'm looking forward to coming back out on the tour and chopping everybody. It's going to be a Rafa fiesta for sure.
We can't wait. We cannot wait. Rafa, thank you so much, my friend. We really appreciate it. And you get back to Uncle Tony and those skin folds. And thank you for your time this afternoon, my friend.
Thank you very much, peasants. Have a great day. All the best.
There he is, Rafael Nadal, a couple of weeks ago. My favourite part is when he refers to us as the peasants that we are at the end. Thank you very much, peasants. Okay, hey, thank you very much for your company today. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local and live drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.